Welcome to Native America Calling. I'm Sean Spruce. From farmers market produce stands to IT support, Native small businesses are a big part of the engine that drives tribal economies. And Native entrepreneurs don't have to go it alone. Many tribes and Native-led organizations offer support in the form of grants and technical assistance. We're at the Reservation Economic Summit today, where we'll discuss trends for Native small business. The conversation starts after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Jill Freitas, filling in for Antonia Gonzalez. Native students from colleges and universities from across the country are learning valuable leadership skills this week in Las Vegas. More than 250 students are gathered for the American Indigenous Business Leadership Conference. It's being held in collaboration with the National Center for American Indian Enterprise Development's Reservation Economic Summit, where more than 4,500 business leaders are gathered. The ABLE Conference offers a variety of activities geared specifically to enhance educational experiences beyond what is taught through traditional academic methods. Prairie Blunt is the executive director for ABLE. She says with the program, they're helping future business leaders in three different ways.
We focus on training tomorrow's business leaders, and we do that in three specific ways. We provide scholarships, we provide paid internships and mentoring opportunities.
Blunt says with scholarships and financial help, Native students, particularly in the business fields, can get their education and return back to their reservations and communities to build up the economy. Christian Rangel has been part of ABLE for 4 years and joined his junior year of college at the Northwest University of Oklahoma with a bachelor's in business management. He's now working to get his business major and says because of ABLE, he'll be able to help his community.
Whenever I graduate, I want to open a business and go back to my reservation in Pinon. In Pinon, there's not much water. There's not the best housing out there, so I want to create some type of housing.
Blunt says with the 30th anniversary coming up for the organization, they have a lot of plans in store, especially for the younger leaders still in school.
We're blowing up our programming to include high school track, a tribal college and university, and then a young professionals track. So those students that have come through our program but are just entering their jobs, they still need support as well. And so we're including them in our new programming going forward so that we can really create a more holistic experience for our up-and-coming business leaders.
The ABLE Conference wraps up Tuesday with representatives from over 17 different states and over 35 different tribal colleges and universities. Sunday's 2024 Academy Awards was filled with many memorable moments. The movie Oppenheimer won a majority of the awards as predicted, but one thing Indian Country was rooting for didn't happen for Best Actress in a Leading Role. Native people across the country were holding high hopes that actress Lily Gladstone would take home an Oscar for her role as Molly Burkhart in Killers of the Flower Moon. Gladstone has been the top contender this award season, winning Best Actress at the Golden Globes and Screen Actors Guild Awards. So when Emma Stone's name was called, it appeared Stone herself was just as shocked. When going up to accept her award, Stone acknowledged Gladstone in her speech.
Lily, I share this with you. I am in awe of you. And it has been such an honor to do all of this together. I hope we get to keep doing more together.
Gladstone is Blackfeet and Nez Perce. Her portrayal of Molly Burkhart in the film Killers of the Flower Moon has been widely recognized by critics and viewers alike. During the introduction of the Oscars Award for Best Actress, actress Jennifer Lawrence highlighted Gladstone's portrayal in Killers of the Flower Moon. People across Indian Country expressed their displeasure on social media, but many say Lily is still a winner and an inspiration. I'm Jill Freitas.
We'll be right back.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
The Indian Arts and Crafts Board promotes Indian artists of federally recognized tribes through its online source directory. Information on this no-charge opportunity available at doi.gov/IACB. Who support this program? Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for over 40 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
Live from the Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada, this is Native America Calling, and I'm your host, Sean Spruce. Tribes like the Navajo Nation know the value of small businesses. They know that jewelers, construction contractors, business consultants, and restaurant owners provide jobs for Navajo citizens and put revenue into the local economy. That's one driving force behind Navajo's recent $89 million loan program for small business. The program is a partnership with the U.S. Department of Commerce. Tribal officials say it will offer a lifeline to help new small businesses get off the ground and weather the unpredictable risks that sink so many entrepreneurial endeavors. We'll learn about that loan program today and other initiatives by the Navajo Nation as well as other tribes. We're focusing on Native business this week while we're here at Res. And we want to hear from our listeners. What can tribes do to help businesses where you are? What opportunities or risks should new business owners think about? Lots of conversations we're going to have this week while we're here. And let's go ahead and meet the two guests that we have lined up with us. Joining me right now, sitting right next to me, is Jackson Brossi. He is the Assistant Administrator for the Office of Native American Affairs at the U.S. Small Business Administration. He is Dene. Jackson, you've been on the show before. Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Great to be here.
Wonderful to have you. And joining us over the phone from Atlanta, Georgia, is another Dene brother, Jeremiah Bitsui. He is an actor, but he is also a very successful entrepreneur. He's Dene and Omaha. Jeremiah, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. Hey, Jackson.
Hey.
It's good to have you, Jeremiah. Well, Jackson, what do you think? Are you enjoying Res so far?
I'm having an incredible time meeting all these Native entrepreneurs from across the country doing really, really innovating and inspiring things.
Yeah, I just can't get over how many industries are represented here. So many small businesses from tribal communities and nations from coast to coast. It's just so inspiring to see it all. I heard there's well over 4,000 people that have registered 4, here this week.
4,100, I think is what I saw.
Wow. Yeah. How many years have you been coming?
A while.
Well, Jackson, here we are. It's 2024. You know, it looks like we've seen the worst of that pandemic. I know, you know, things have seemed to get back to that level of normalcy that we're all familiar with. Federal government's pumped a lot of money, billions of dollars, into small business recovery. What's the update you have for us? Is small business, specifically Native small business, are we back on track?
Every sector is a little different. However, there, in general, the administration pumped 30 plus billion from the American Rescue Plan directly to tribes, 12 plus billion for the bipartisan infrastructure law, and that has spurred incredible economic growth in a number of different areas. But Indian country, thankfully, has not been left behind. One area that I work with the Small Business Administration, we help out Native entrepreneurs in a number of different areas. But one big area we connect with is called government contracting. And government contracting is we help Native entrepreneurs sell to the federal government. And the federal government is the biggest buyer and procurer of goods and services in the entire world. And there are certain programs that are designed to help underserved entrepreneurs get a hand up, not a handout, to enter the market of federal contracting. And I'm happy to share that Native contracting is at its highest level that it's ever been right now. It's just had a banner year, $19 billion in revenues, what Native American Indian-owned tribe firms, Native Hawaiian organizations, and Alaska Native corporations did in business with the federal government last year. And to put that in comparison, gaming, we all know, is a big driver in Indian country of jobs and revenue, and that's about a $40 billion industry. So it's about half. And there are some really great stories of these Native-owned companies that are owned by their tribes or their corporations giving back to their communities, investing, and those investments have been seeded really over a generation the past 40 years. And we have people that were in the program that got scholarships to go to school, and now they're the head, they're CEO of their corporation. It's really inspiring.
And Jackson, I mean, you're here this week at Res. Obviously, you're networking. You're talking with a lot of small businesses, Native-owned small businesses. But you travel all over the country. And what are Native small business people telling you? What are the challenges they're facing right now? And what are the opportunities they're most excited about?
Again, with the SBA, one of our big touch points is around government contracting. And so we help folks get into that. And we have a number of success stories. I think about Monica Hohola from New Mexico. She is a Native, she's an individual Native woman who started a contracting company. She had worked for a contractor, and she said, you know what, I can do this. I'm going to invest in myself. And she went to some of our partners. We have these free partners called Small Business Development Centers across the country, about 900 of them. They're free to everybody. And we want more Native folks to be using them. And so she went to one of these small business development centers in Albuquerque and said, hey, I'm going to make this company happen. Help me do this. And they put together a business plan. And now she's got like 100 employees all across the country doing great things. So we get approached by entrepreneurs that really want, they have this idea, they want to make their dream a reality. And that's one area where we get approached. The other area we get approached where people have challenges around access to capital. And basically what that means is you want to start a business, but you need to buy a tractor or you need to rent a building. And if you're coming from Native background, like I grew up in Red Mesa, Arizona, and we don't have any banks in Red Mesa, Arizona. We don't have any credit unions. And we drive about an hour to go get our groceries and come back and spend our money in other communities and we come back. And so that access to capital is something that isn't really as available. And so that's one of the big challenges we hear from our entrepreneurs. And so what we do is we're able to partner with different banks. We partner with different Native banks and different Native community development financial institutions, CDFIs, to make sure that if you're a Native entrepreneur that you're able to get some of this capital that maybe you might not be able to get from a regular bank, or you might not have the credit score just because of the environment you grew up in. And we are able to help these organizations get those folks
a
loan.
Right. There's that old saying, banks only want to lend money to people who can prove that they don't need it.
Yeah.
And that's where you folks step in. Jackson, inflation has been a real challenge since the pandemic, and I know some of those numbers have gone down a little bit, but in other areas, you know, there are some issues, some industries where it's really impacting, you know, how businesses operate. What do you folks do on the federal level to assist Native small businesses that are struggling with inflation pressure?
And it gets back to capital inflation and it impacts capital. And one, we're able to help with some training and technical assistance from our small business development centers. And the other one is we're able to help a bit with access to capital. And so if you're interested in learning more about our access to capital work, you go to sba.gov and / lender match, or just type in lender match SBA. And you can type in your information and say, I want a loan for this amount in this sector. And some banks and other folks in that area will hopefully get in touch with you, and you can talk directly with them about terms and what is best for your business.
All right. Now, the 8A loan program, which is a product and a service that a lot of Native entrepreneurs have been able to tap into in the past, what's been the effect of that being suspended?
This is also a big question that we get. So the 8A business development plan is this program designed for mostly small disadvantaged businesses to get into government contracting. And this is both for individual Native firms and tribally owned firms. And there was a challenge to the individual firms. And our the SBA was responsive to that challenge. Unfortunately, we had to pause the program for a little bit to be responsive to a court order. But since then, we've processed more than 1,000 8A applications, and we've certified new 8A programs. So we've reopened that. There is a little more a time-consuming process to become 8A certified. But we're doing everything we can, and we're still 100% committed to the program, and it is back opened up. In fact, yesterday we brought on a new Native 8A firm. We signed them up yesterday from the Muscogee Nation.
That's good news. Yeah. Good news. The Native American Bipartisan Entrepreneurial Act, championed by Representative Sharice Davids from the state of Kansas, very, very well-beloved figure in Indian country, of course. Tell us more about that act.
Well, leadership matters, and it's great to have Congresswoman Davids here. And I know that she's been at RES before. She's very much a big advocate for Native small businesses, and she's a former Native small business owner herself. And so she understands that there are these barriers to getting access to capital in Indian country. There are these barriers about entrepreneurship development, and that she also knows that the SBA has these great resources. And so this bill that passed the House would allow our office, the office that I sit in, to continue to do what we're doing and enshrine a lot of the advances that we've made under this administration. And so to give a more background, I report directly to the head of the Small Business Administration. Her name is Isabella Guzman, and she's a member of the president's cabinet. And this is an action that she took. She listened to tribes. Tribes said, the Office of Native American Affairs at the SBA is an important office, and they deal with all these different areas, and sometimes they're kind of stuck in the corner, and they're not included in the big meetings. And so Indian Country said, we want you to make sure that this office reports directly to you, the head, because this is part of our government-to-government relationship and trust responsibility. And they said that here at RES about 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, she said, all right, I'm going to do that. And, and then I came on board.
A quick break here, Jackson, but we will be right back. We are here in Las Vegas, Nevada, Native America Calling.
International markets are increasingly important for tribal economic development. Native-led organizations work with officials in both the U.S. federal government and overseas to expand opportunities for foreign trade. We'll get an overview of growing global business trends for tribes on the next Native America Calling.
Pursuing a degree in higher education is attainable, and with a scholarship from Native Forward Scholars Fund, it is more affordable. From aerospace to veterinary medicine, as the largest direct scholarship provider to Native students in the U.S., Native Forward has empowered over 22,000 students from over 500 tribes in all 50 states in pursuit of their undergraduate, graduate, and professional degrees. Info and applications at nativeforward.org. Who support this show.
We are so glad you could tune in to Native America Calling today, this live broadcast from the Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is sunny. It is warm. There are a whole lot of natives in this town, and they are excited to talk business and get out there and highlight culture, business, and local economies. And entrepreneurs, they put it all on the line, right, to grow their own wealth. And at the same time, they take risks, but they also foster inspiration within their communities and tribal economies. We're going to talk now with one of these small business owners, and a lot of you folks know Jeremiah Bitsui. If you've seen Breaking Bad, if you've watched Dark Winds, if you've seen Better Call Saul, you know how amazing he is on camera as an actor, a well-known Native actor. But Jeremiah, again, thank you for joining us today, and you are also a business owner that a lot of people don't know, huh?
Yeah, that's correct. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. I got started at a young age, roughly 19 years of age. I started as an entrepreneur. So Before I was technically going full force with my career in acting, I was starting first in entrepreneurship. So, yeah, long background on that side. And sometimes I feel very old when people say, hey, when did you first start acting? And I say, well, I started acting 41 years ago, or, well, I guess 39 years ago. And then I've been in business now going on 24 years. So it's been a journey.
And you've owned multiple businesses over your career. Tell us about the very first business you ever owned and what kind of current business projects you have going on, Jeremiah.
Thank you. Yeah, so to start, the history of it, I started at the age of 19 with not really such a strong GPA. I always looked up to folks like Jackson. You know, Jackson had went to Stanford and Harvard, and that was always very, to me, I guess it seemed somewhat unattainable. But just because it was such a stretch, and in high school I had some hardships and setbacks. And so when I was 19, I figured, hey, the only way I'm going to get to Los Angeles to pursue my dreams is to start a company. So first company was a soft skill based workshop development company. And so we would work with the Workforce Investment Act, WIA, as many of us may know, TANF training programs within that. And so there was a soft skill based component, and we qualified to meet that for many programs. So we went from being kind of more on the southwest and west end of the U.S. To nationally doing work throughout Oklahoma into New York and then down into Florida. So that was to start. And then more recently, you know, it's been a blessing to straddle a few different industries. But in 2008, of course, hard for many people. I had a father who had been lifelong in construction, and he, through a number of events, had ended up in the red and working himself into the black, but definitely not as solid as where he was prior. And I started a new company, and I said, hey, why don't you come on board and you run the construction element, and I run the business. And some of the best years of my life, he passed a few years ago, and we started that company in 2008. Everyone thought we were crazy, but we just we focused on technology. The company that I'm speaking about is called Bitco. And we utilize what I call innovative construction technology. So there's different types of technology that implements, and we're part of IDIQ currently, which is a type of government contracting vehicle that allows for multiple award, or in this case, you know, either single award, multiple award, but we're focusing on uranium cleanup. So with a very specific technology. So that's one. But the bread and butter has always been commercial buildings, both pre-engineered, modular, and then, of course, we've done some permanent structures as well.
Okay.
But the very cool thing is we're starting to bring in, as you may know, in Dubai and other parts of the world, you have very accelerated forms of construction and very intricate and complicated types of construction as well. And that is that technology does not currently exist in the U.S. Not until now. So prior to the pandemic, we were a part of a large-scale development in the Middle East, and now we're straddling that and bringing some of what we have internationally, national, domestic as well. So we're very excited about that. And as a small business, it's interesting times, you know, as, of course, you mentioned inflation earlier, and as Jackson mentioned, some of the products and the availability to funds that weren't previously available. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. You know, we went from an interesting place, like most people in 2020 during the pandemic. We went from almost no contracts being flooded and having boosting back up to 50 employees by the end of the year. And then now, you know, kind of evening out and starting to do more consistent work. So it's been really interesting, you know, but we utilized what were the challenges during the pandemic to just tap into our core capabilities.
Jeremiah, it really sounds like you know a lot about some of these programs, like what Jackson was discussing, some of these opportunities that are available to Native entrepreneurs, and knowing how to take advantage of those programs, knowing how to make those programs work for you. But also, it sounds to me like you are not afraid to take a risk. I mean, you mentioned starting that business 2008, right during that horrible mortgage meltdown. You've weathered the pandemic. And I think that's one thing that really scares a lot of potential business owners is, you know, what happens if I fail, and, you know, the risk I'm taking, and what happens to my personal finances if this doesn't work out. So how do you do that? How do you take on that risk, and how do you build a business with confidence like you've done and thrive, even when times are challenging like these last few years we've been through?
That's a great question. I ask myself that same question every Monday. Every Monday, and since I've been 19 years old, it's felt like the first day of school. And so I don't know if it gets any easier, or if it's just the tolerance and your stomach just gets a little bit more attuned to being able to handle that. But to speak about it like a strength is one thing. I always sometimes think it's potentially a weakness if I ever had to go back into the job force. Just being that all I really know is being, working on my own. But to speak about the risk part of it, you know, as far as the growth, we've started an office in Atlanta. And the reason being is that we're starting to focus on more service-oriented business and as well as I mentioned, other products that would be, you know, whether if they're pre-engineered and or a multifaceted technology type applications, but it made a lot of sense for us to be more in a hub. We've still have an office there in Albuquerque, and then we have a satellite office also in Shiprock, Arizona, in Crown Point, Arizona. So, you know, being able to manage it, you know, has definitely been the being in different time zones, and I still fly out and I'm on a, like next week, I'll be on several job sites back on Navajo and in the area in the Southwest. But the programs that Jackson's mentioned and the programs available are definitely not available as they are now. And the way that those programs are being backed, you know, I do know that there has been some challenges within our community as far as some of the different loan programs, even housing programs for Indigenous people. And I think the disparity that maybe isn't always seen is the gap between, hey, this program is available, it's underwritten. Let's say if it's even available at a large institution like Wells Fargo or any of the large banks, and then you get there in person, you're talking to a person on the finance end or a business banker, and they may have no such idea what you're talking about, and they have to go to national and then find out if they can do it regional. And so to your point, you know, we haven't really been looking at the institutional lending part until we actually started getting more contracts. And you know, to your point, it's usually you're looking at lending when you're more cash flush than when you don't have cash. And for the most part, that's how it is for most businesses, unfortunately, is you don't really have very many lending opportunities until you have the contract. So it's kind of the chicken and egg type thing.
Right. You've got to kind of establish that base level of security and success to get to that next level, right?
Correct, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jeremiah, thank you again for coming on the air today. And we met in December. You were on a business trip, and we were on a flight together. And it's just great to have you on the show. And congratulations, brother, on all your success, and best of luck going forward.
Wonderful. Yeah, nice to connect again, and we'll have to connect when we get back to Georgia.
Yeah, for sure. East Coast time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all.
Absolutely. We have another guest who just came up to join us, and this is another person who is familiar with the show, a friend of Native America Calling here live in Las Vegas, Nevada. We are joined by Alicia Murphy, and she is the economist for the Navajo Nation Division of Economic Development. She is, of course, Dene. And Alicia, welcome back to the show, and it's wonderful to see you here at Res. Are you enjoying yourself so far?
Good to be here. Yes, thank you. I'm enjoying the conference like I enjoy every year. So cool.
It really is. Have you been out to good restaurants, seen any shows, anything like that yet?
No shows yet. And the restaurant I went to last night was here in Caesars, and it was pretty good. But Andy's the foodie, so I'm waiting for her to recommend the next one for me.
And just so our listeners are familiar, Alicia is the sister of our senior producer, Andy Murphy, who hosts The Menu and also has just all kinds of projects going on with related to Native foods and things. So, yeah, so definitely you've got a high bar there to meet when it comes to restaurants. Well, Alicia, let's talk a little bit about this new loan program that the Navajo Nation just announced, worth almost $89 million. Where do those funds come from, and how will they be used?
Yeah, so that's part of the U.S. Treasury's State Small Business Credit Initiative, and it was previously offered to states and state governments to apply. And in 2021, they announced that tribal governments were eligible to apply. So Navajo Nation put in its application, and we were allocated that amount of money. So we are designing two programs for our small businesses and artists. And for Navajo Nation, it's going to be a loan guarantee program and a loan participation program. So we have a high amount of loans and a high dollar amount, and then we have the higher amount in way of the participation program. So it's been a really cool process to go through how to define or how to like design these programs to make sure that they're respectful of the uniqueness of Navajo Nation. Like was mentioned earlier today, it's hard to get a loan on reservation land. Access to capital is a very, very, very serious issue, and this is one of the ways we can try to address it with these new opportunities.
And what are some of the industries right now on the Navajo Nation that businesses and entrepreneurs are most excited about?
And the entrepreneurs on reservation?
Yeah, they're in Navajo country.
Yeah, there's in 2020, after pandemic, learning about these opportunities, we also did a survey to figure out where our industries were. A lot of them were personal care and services. A lot of them were food services. And these are the small businesses that are like the people at mom and pop stores or like the very small businesses that operate out of their home. And then there's the interest and the growing interest in trying to get brick and mortar or trying to establish an online store, an online, you know, presence to make sure that there's that exchange of products. And I mean, it's all over the place. Our people are so creative, and it's hard to really grasp that specific area. But I mean, just walking around here, you see artists from all kinds of mediums. And when we talked about Andy doing her podcast work, it's a lot of both taking responsibility of producing a product and being proud of that product, but also educating people on why it's important, starting those conversations on this product or that product, if it's a food thing or if it's a piece of art. Like, that conversation is very important in what businesses do, what entrepreneurship is.
Andy, we heard Jeremiah talk about the pandemic, and Jackson touched on it as well. And what did you folks there at the Navajo Nation learn about your economy because of the pandemic? And where are you folks at now with regards to, you know, now that we've seen the worst of it?
Yeah, the pandemic really, I mean, on all due respect to what it did cause globally, it provided us an opportunity to take that step back, ask the question, where are our businesses? A lot of people say that small businesses are the backbone of a nation, of an economy, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And what we did was we did a survey to figure out, you know, what is the both supply and the demand side of the nation. And the demand side for our people on the nation was mostly the trades. They need auto repair shops. They need those mechanics, the engineers, the plumbers. Like, that was a very high demand, even in the pandemic. That didn't, and I coming from Crown Point, New Mexico, We did have an auto repair shop in our town, and then it just slowly went away. And I don't know where our families go. Like, it was just like naturally we had to go off reservation to get that done. But we did learn a lot about our entrepreneurs and where their specialty is, and it's in art and a lot of small businesses that operate out of their home, like I mentioned before. So that, yeah.
That's really interesting. And the trades, like what you're describing, an auto shop, I mean, those are pretty capital-intensive businesses. A lot of equipment, a lot of tools to get a business like that going. And those businesses also face a lot of liabilities. So you've got the risk as well. We're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with Jackson and more with Alicia about what's going on in Indian Country, on the Navajo Nation, and other areas, and what the opportunities that lie ahead are, and also some of the challenges that our Native entrepreneurs and small businesses face. And we're enjoying ourselves here. The exhibition hall is really starting to heat up. There are a lot of people that are filtering in and out, and we're getting a lot of people visiting our booth and waving and stopping by to check out Native America Calling live in Las Vegas, Nevada, here on this sunny morning in the sunny, sunny area of the Southwest. So I want all of our listeners to stay with us here. We're going to be broadcasting here from Las Vegas again tomorrow and also on Thursday. So we've got several live shows lined up for you here from Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm just having a great time here visiting with our guests and learning more about their work and what inspires them the most. And again, a short break, and we will be right back.
Does your club, institution, or other group need custom-branded apparel? A wide variety of t-shirts, hoodies, and much more, all custom-printed or embroidered, are available from NativeScreenPrinting.com, a division of Skyscreen Printing, who support this program.
Skuktash. For more than 40 years, Ramona Farms has revived ancient traditional foods, tepary beans, pinoli, polentas, and more, all from store.ramonafarms.com. Ramona Farms supports this show. Omnye.
Here we are at the Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. Native America Calling. I'm your host, Sean Spruce. And sitting next to me, we have Jackson Brasi, Assistant Administrator for the Office of Native American Affairs at the U.S. Small Business Administration. And we also have Alicia Murphy, who is the economist for the Navajo Nation Division of Economic Development. And Alicia, we were talking a little bit about the break and about some of these loan programs and other services that are available. And you mentioned that it's really important that applicants have a good base in financial literacy and understanding just kind of the ins and outs of personal finance if they're going to take that next step and become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, one thing we did learn about during the pandemic was that gap in practice and knowledge. Financial literacy, understanding your bank, your accounts, your bank, your financial records, and even owning that term, you're an entrepreneur. Like, that was a conversation we had with a lot of applicants for another program that the division implemented. But getting that conversation beyond, we're just talking about it, and you accept that definition of we are an entrepreneur, we're owning a business. A lot of people just do it because it's the love of that art, or it's the love of, like, they're wanting to do something for their community. And that's important. And so what we need to do is connect that with the practices of being that business owner in keeping your records and practicing good bookkeeping. And when these opportunities like SSBCI come around, then you're ready to have, you know, take that step to either grow or expand your business. Use these funds to build your credit and then expand even more. So financial literacy is cannot be forgotten in these conversations, because we have to operate in those kind of those two worlds, in being an entrepreneur and having that go-get spirit, like, and then also taking care of the back end where you have to prove and show your performance, show your impact to your communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's just so fascinating how you describe it, because you have aspiring business owners at all levels, people that just want to take their hobby to that next level. They're not looking to, you know, become a billionaire, right? They just want to do what they do for their community and enjoy what they do. But then you do have these folks that really do want to grow, and they want to have employees, and they want to have multiple locations, and they want to do federal contracting, and they maybe even work overseas. So that's a lot to manage, those competing interests like that, and just such a wide range of aspiring entrepreneurs.
Yeah, it is. It is a big undertaking in defining where you want to go, and talking to a lot of artists and even knowing artists in my own family, like, it's not about becoming that millionaire, like you said. It's about, like, holding and carrying on that tradition of what their grandparents taught them. And it was also talk to a lot of organizations who want to grow because they feel that impact of their communities is needed. They're filling a gap in that service or a gap in this conversation. And that growing mentality is something I hope to do with what we do at the division for Navajo entrepreneurs and small businesses, is making sure that these programs are written for that flexibility to include the small business owner, the lady that sells burritos on the side of the road every morning, and the business that's wanting to expand into the off-reservation communities. So writing for those flexibilities is really what we hope to include in all of our programs coming up.
Well, right on, Alicia. Mm-hmm. It's great to have you here. And, geez, now you really got me thinking about where I'm going to go for dinner tonight. We have a gentleman that just came, and he's joining us here on the show. He's at our booth. His name is Andy Wells, and he is Red Lake Ojibwe, and he is with a company. He is the CEO of a company by the name of Wells Technology. He is a small business owner. Well, Andy, tell us more. What brought you to Res here this week?
Well, we've been coming here for probably over 20 years to get the exposure to potential customers and meet other people who are sharing similar challenges that we share in manufacturing. And just kind of get together and network, and it's been really inspiring every year to do this.
Well, tell us more about Wells Technology. I see your business card here, Precision CNC Manufacturing. Holy cow, what does that mean, Andy?
Well, CNC is computer numerical control. Most all of the machines nowadays in manufacturing, the modern ones, are run by computers. And I started about 35 years ago just myself at manual things and advanced into this era of computer. But we do manufacturing for aerospace, high-tech, medical industries. And we are a privately owned Native American company. We're one of the entrepreneurs that has gone through the steps, as we've heard earlier today, I think, working with the SBA through the 8A programs and all kinds of different, you know, things that they've had. And learning even how to get qualified to be hub zone. And we've done all that. So those programs really are helpful. I just wanted to say that to the folks who are entrepreneuring, that be sure and follow that. And also, equally, as we just heard about finances, daily we have to watch our cash flow. You have to be so careful. And yet you have to invest, too. You can't be too scared about that, because you got to take that risk. But actually, the greatest investment for us and a lot of companies right now is our workforce development, not just machines, but workforce, because we're not finding enough employees. And especially by the Native American reservations where I'm situated too, we need a fairly high quality of qualification, skills, and so on to run these modern computer machines. We need engineers, we need CPAs, we need things like that in business. And we're not finding Native American people because, unfortunately, too many of them are dropping out of school, and it's still a problem we have on many reservations. So I've decided to do something a little bit innovative. We began forming apprenticeships and internships. The apprenticeships are for the little bit older group who are maybe in the 20s and 30s, who maybe have been struggling and just haven't quite found that job yet. And they come to us, and we hire them basically off the street, so to speak. They don't have any technical or skills or knowledge of the industries. So we teach them, and we give them 2,000 hours of training. They all have mentors. They all get paid. But for the high school students who are, you know, maybe at risk, maybe they're not interested in school anymore, and they are thinking about dropping out, we want to try and save those folks. We want to keep them in school because that's so valuable. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is we're offering in our school 12 internships, so they can come over, and the superintendent said they can work 2 days with us, and then they work 3 days in their course studies so they can graduate on time. And that way, it keeps them in school. It gives them an interest. A lot of kids, as we know, often stay in school just because of athletics. But some who aren't maybe into athletics might stay in school if they're involved in technology and career paths that show promise for them. So this has been a tremendous program, a lot of interest, and we're trying to make it a model that we can share maybe next year the success with other companies and schools and hopefully develop it. Our goal is to keep these young kids across America, especially Native American kids, in school and graduate.
All right, Andy, that sounds wonderful. Jackson, this is interesting. So taking young people, teenagers, high school students, and fostering some of this entrepreneurial spirit and teaching them some of these basic skills, do you think it's ever too young to introduce conversations with our young Native kids about being business owners at some point in the future, being entrepreneurs?
Absolutely not. And when I think about businesses and Native communities, I think it's we all need to acknowledge that Native communities are coming from a place where their economies and their, I guess, ultimately businesses were decimated. And they're decimated by external people, and a lot of it the federal government. And I work for the federal government now, but I think about as for the Navajo Nation, first our folks were forcibly sent away on a long walk, and everything was taken from us, including houses burned, just our farms just destroyed, everything. But we came back and we rebuilt, and we got more into things like raising sheep and stuff like that. And then about in the mid-30s, the government came again and said, you know what, you guys have too much sheep and you're not taking care of it, and we're going to take these sheep away from you and kill them. Mm-hmm. And that was our economy at that point, and it was taken out from under us. And so that story is not, that's just not a Navajo story. We look at Buffalo and the economy of how that was taken away from folks, and taking of land in farming communities. They had their land taken from them. And so that story is kind of permeates across the Indian country, and that kind of taking away of our economic livelihood is something that has seeped in over generations, and I think we need to work on rebuilding that and regrowing that. And I'm happy to say that we have a brand new partnership with tribal colleges where we want to do this. And we have three tribal colleges we signed. We're giving a grant to Nebraska Indian College in Macy, the American Indian Arts College out in Santa Fe.
IIA.
Yeah. And then Salish and Kootenai tribe. And we want to connect with young entrepreneurs, but also the people in their community. I talked about our small business development centers. There's 900 of them across the country, and they're great, incredible tools. But a lot of times, they're maybe an hour or two from where Native communities are. And so we said, well, we have these great tools, these tribal colleges that are already doing great stuff. Let's connect with them. And so we did. And so hopefully we're able to grow this program. It's brand new, and really excited about it.
Mm. Andy, I see your company's based in Bemidji, Minnesota. Now, is most of your work focused in the upper Midwest, or do you work nationwide?
Well, our manufacturing is right up there, and we stay in that community because I wanted to provide jobs for the Native people there. We have about a 29% poverty rate, and it's just so sad, and I'm one of the people, and I feel that I need to give back to our people, so I stay there. But we do have offices for some of our, you know, financial matters and so on, CPA and all that, in other locations.
All right. Well, you mentioned a very important issue that we haven't talked about much yet, and that is the fact that small businesses promote jobs and employment. They build the workforce. And Alicia, maybe you could chime in with regards to what small business does for employment opportunities on the Navajo Nation.
Oh, yeah. I think small businesses on Navajo Nation and growing that sector and making sure that both the public and private sector match in terms of where we are allocating our resources and how we're making sure that that's an area that we're not left behind. And unemployment rate on Navajo Nation has always been an issue. And it brings up another conversation about how we access data. How are we tracking unemployment information with our Navajo Nation? The most recent Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy for Navajo Nation reports that our unemployment rate is 39%, where in the last report, the last census, it was like 50-something percent. So where we can say it's a great, awesome thing that we have a lower unemployment rate, it really begs the question, like, well, what is, in 2020 when census was being collected, how was it being collected and what are those questions and how were tribal nations or rural areas accessed, or did they receive the questionnaire? Did they participate during the pandemic, right? So we ask those questions in terms of employment, but back to the question, at small businesses for employment and providing jobs and that gap or that practice of including the younger people into conversations now about financial literacy and now about participating in the economy is, I think, just as important as, like, let's include another job. Let's include another person with a permanent position, and the productivity of that, you know, and then the benefits of it is you're including younger people to carry on that productivity.
Andy, you shared earlier you've been in business for more than three decades, and what have you seen with regard to just the growth with small businesses throughout Indian Country, the types of industries that we're working in, the size of our businesses? I imagine it's changed a lot over the years.
Oh, yeah, it has, and we've been growing about 10% a year. We found out you got to be careful not to grow too fast because you got to keep things in balance, like finances, and you got to keep your market, and you got to keep your capital investment, all of these things in balance. So, growth has to be there. You can't just stand still the way it seems, because if you try to do that, you'll slide backwards. Your competition is moving forward. So in Indian Country, though, I think it's more of a problem because a lot of the entrepreneurs don't get the support that they should have in terms of, in terms of just the camaraderie. It's so it's kind of a lonely thing in a way, being a founder and a business owner. You can't just hang out with your employees anymore who might have been your friends when you started. You've got to find new connections and people to keep you going.
So that's important. A business, it has a health line to it. It needs to grow, but it needs to grow within a manageable time frame and at a manageable level. What are you most excited about for the future? Where do you see Native small business in 10, 15, or 20 years, Andy?
I think there's going to be more entrepreneuring going on. We see encouragement here at the show. We're talking about it today. And we really do need it on our reservations. So it can be done, and those of us who have achieved it need to help the young ones who are starting out. When young, I don't necessarily mean an age, but the new entrepreneurs, whatever age you are, those of us who have done it need to help those. We need to be the mentors, because there's a lot of steps. You've heard a lot of things today, opportunities from SBA, challenges with finances. But those of us who've been through it, have done a lot of these things, and we can help the new ones and make it easier for them.
Andy, I'm so glad that you stopped by our booth today. We're able to come on our show and share so much wisdom, so much of your expertise. And I want to thank you and wish you just much success going forward.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. And for our other guests who joined us today, Alicia Murphy, thank you again for a wonderful conversation. And Jackson Brasi as well. Great to have you. And I'm looking forward to just hanging out more with you over the next couple of days and just learning more about all these fantastic opportunities that we have. And, of course, for Jeremiah Bitsui, who also joined us today on the line from Atlanta, Georgia, a big thanks to him, Jeremiah Bitsui. So, folks, we will be here again at Res tomorrow. Please join us. We'll be talking about tribes reaching out to international markets. What does it take for tribal businesses to go global, and what are the incentives to do that? That will be tomorrow here on Native America Calling, live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm your host, Sean Spruce. Stay strong, stay proud, stay sovereign. Thank you.
The Indian Arts and Crafts Act protects authentic American Indian and Alaska Native artists and craftspeople and their art and craftwork. Under the Act, it is illegal to market art or craftwork misrepresented as American Indian, Indian, Native American, or Alaska Native made, or as the product of a particular Indian tribe. Reporting potential Act violations can be done at doi.gov/IACB or at 1-888-ART-FAKE. Support provided by Indian Arts and Crafts Board.
Yat a tubby yas is a sleepy kuna a ya a jay dashin sago a ya baku in tenipin ya holdish. Yat a ho in yandodil, adot istra hotel zetodil, ado adolets at a yego a yapans in case, ebony nago a has twiddle son in delge a hajo a yapet kitten dahosne, nidy kitten lenigin a holongo, as a el empathas ango a ya party na healthcare.gov. Be the name spish about it net up 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.